Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
We've got an update to a story we've been following for a little while out of Beverly Hills, California. Those safe deposit boxes that were seized by the feds. And a lot of people sent this to me, so thank you very much. But now, the FBI wants to keep the fortune in cash, gold, and jewels they found in the Beverly Hills raid. And the question is that an abuse of power? Answer, yes. Michael Finnegan of the Los Angeles Times wrote the article and posed that question. And remember, FBI agents got permission to tear the safe deposit boxes from the walls of a Beverly Hills business and haul them away. And a U.S. magistrate actually said, yes, you can do this, but there are limits on the raid. So the business was called U.S. Private Vaults. They had been charged in a sealed indictment with conspiring to sell drugs and launder money. Now, there were no allegations against any of the customers. So, the magistrate said the FBI could seize the boxes, but had to return the contents to the owners. And this is directly from the warrant. It says, and this is a quote, "This warrant does not authorize a criminal search or seizure of the contents of the safety deposit boxes." Unquote. Now the FBI is trying to confiscate $86 million in cash, millions of dollars more in jewelry and other valuables that the agents found in the 369 boxes. Prosecutors claim the forfeiture is justified because the unnamed box holders were engaged in criminal activity, although they have disclosed no evidence to support the allegation. So they basically say, look, we had this box in our possession. We were allowed to open it to inventory the contents. And while inventorying the contents, we came to the conclusion that the owner of the box was a criminal. Therefore, we get to keep this stuff. Box holders and their lawyers, of course, dispute this. They say this is a brazen abuse of forfeiture laws and say that prosecutors and the FBI are trampling on the rights of people who thought they'd found a safe place to put their confidential documents, heirlooms, gold, rare coins, and cash. These lawyers say if the FBI wants to search the boxes, they first need to meet the standard for a court-issued warrant, which would be probable cause that evidence of specific crimes would be found. And they did not do that. In fact, they specifically said, we don't know what's in any of these boxes. We don't know. So the magistrate who signed the warrant said, again, this warrant does not authorize a criminal search or seizure of the contents of the safety deposit boxes. Unquote. So one of the lawyers said, the government can't take stuff without evidence in the hopes that you're going to get it later, referring to evidence. The Fourth Amendment and the forfeiture laws require the opposite, that you have the evidence first, then you can take the property. But we know that that's not how it always goes. Police routinely find money and just keep it and say, well, we'll figure this out later. Forfeiture laws enable the government to confiscate assets tied to criminal activity. The generally low standard of proof makes it an appealing tool for prosecutors who in criminal trials must prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. So they don't have to prove that the stuff is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. They just have to prove that there's a likelihood and blah, blah, blah. So FBI spokesperson referred questions to the U.S. Attorney's Office. Spokesperson for that office denied the government was misusing its powers by trying to confiscate box holders' belongings. Here's the quote. We have some basis to believe that the items are related to criminal activity. Some basis. Some basis. That sounds convincing, doesn't it? You've got some basis. In general, he said, a number of factors would lead the FBI to pursue forfeiture of the box's contents, such as large stacks of cash kept by a person with a criminal record or no known source of income. Now, here's the thing. Back up and just think about that. Following this logic, if you have a criminal record and you're ever found to have cash, that might be a problem. That might indicate that you are up to criminal activity. Because why would you have money if you are a former criminal? And by the way, the author of this article makes the point, possession of cash is legal. Cash is legal. It is legal to possess cash. U.S. currency is not contraband. Money is something you are allowed to have. In fact, I would say that society encourages you to have it. In fact, we want people to have money. We like them to have money. I like money. I suspect you like money. It's not illegal to have money. So the full quote that Michael Finnegan wrote is, possession of cash in any amount is legal. I'm an attorney. I assure you, he's correct on that. Beyond the $86 million in cash, the FBI is seeking to confiscate thousands of gold and silver bars, Patek Philippe and Rolex watches, gem-studded earrings, bracelets, and necklaces, many of them in felt or velvet pouches. The FBI also wants to take one box holder's poker chips from the Aria Casino in Las Vegas. So here's the deal. Here is like a silver coin, for instance. It has value as U.S. currency. I can spend this. It's worth a half a dollar. It's worth 50 cents. But it's actually worth more than that because it's a collectible. So I hang on to it. And so if you had a bunch of these in a box in California, or maybe gold ones, they make gold coins, $20 gold pieces that look kind of like this, you know. He had a bunch of those in the box, and they found, they go, hey, you're a criminal. Why do you have these? Now, just to be fair, the FBI has returned the contents of about 75 boxes and plans to give back the items found in at least 175 more, but they haven't done that yet. They say that there was no evidence of criminality at all in those boxes, probably because they were near empty. But federal agents have not determined who owns what was stored in many of the other boxes. The indictment says that U.S. private vaults marketed itself to attract criminals who wanted to store valuables anonymously and to keep tax authorities at bay. An owner and a manager of U.S. private vaults were involved in drug sales, it says, and co-conspirators helped customers convert cash into gold to evade government suspicion. So again, you're not allowed to go out and evade suspicion, apparently. There are a lot of people out there who like to stay off the radar of the officials. And in this day and age, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The idea that you've got assets and you don't want other people to know you've got these things, nothing wrong with that. Remember that when it comes to the government, you're supposed to pay taxes on your income taxes. So the fact that you own something doesn't mean that you have to somehow tell the government, oh, by the way, I own this. Is that okay? Can I have your permission to keep this? Oh, I'm sorry. Here, take it from me. I'm scared of having it. You have it. It's better if you have it, I guess. Among those grabbed in this dragnet was a man named Joseph Ruiz, who lost his life savings in the raid. He had $57,000 in cash saved up. It was his life savings. He's an unemployed food service worker who lives near Crenshaw Boulevard and the 10. He's 47 years old, and if you ask me, says he distrusts banks, and he views the world as unstable. And join the club, my friend. So he kept his money at U.S. private vaults. Now, if you want to know where he got the money from, which, by the way, is none of your business, but he'll tell you, because right now he's got to be telling people, otherwise he can't get his money back, and he might not get it back. But he can actually tell you where he got the money from. He has $57,000 in cash that was taken, and he obtained it in two legal settlements, one of which was for injuries he suffered in a car accident, and another was for housing code violations at his apartment complex. The FBI seized the $57,000. They rejected his request to return it, and they're now moving to confiscate it. Because obviously, why on earth would someone keep $57,000 in cash in a safe deposit box? Why would you do that unless you're a criminal? So he says, they kind of stole my money. And many people would say, correction, they stole your money. By the way, he recently worked at Gate Gourmet, an airline caterer. And when he went to the FBI to try to reclaim his money, a federal agent asked him if he belonged to a drug cartel. Are you a member of a drug cartel? Because you've got $57,000 in cash. And we don't think any law-abiding U.S. citizen could possibly have $57,000 in cash unless they were a member of a drug cartel. So fess up, are you a member of a drug cartel? No, we don't believe you. So he says, I'm made out to be a criminal and I didn't do anything. I'm a law-abiding citizen. By the way, his father is a Los Angeles police officer, or at least he was. So there have been several lawsuits, at least 11, filed by box holders against this action trying to get their money back. and they want to get these various court orders declared unconstitutional. In case you're curious, this is all part of civil asset forfeiture. And in 2000 to 2019, so the first 20 years, basically, of this century, depending on where you start counting, forfeiture has generated $46 billion for the federal government, according to an Institute for Justice report. And yes, this is basically just a tax. This is just another way the government raises money. In the U.S. private vaults case, the FBI's May 20th notice of forfeiture against 369 safe deposit boxes marked a major escalation of what was already a raw display of power by the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles. A former prosecutor named David B. Smith, who wrote a book on how to prosecute and defend forfeiture cases, says, "This definitely doesn't smell good. They can't say, you show me this is legitimate money. That's not the law. And no judge is going to let them do that." Except we've seen that they do that. So box holders who fail to claim their property the next few weeks will automatically lose it. So they got the boxes. And then they announce, if you want your stuff back, you've got a time frame within which you must try to claim it. There actually are people out there who might not know about this yet. It's possible. We always hear stories about that. Somebody will say, yeah, I was actually traveling in Europe. I got stuck over there because of COVID. I don't watch the news. I come home, go to my bank and or, you know, safe deposit box place, and places all shut down, and there's signs in the door. It's actually possible that someone out there who had a box doesn't know about it. But if they don't claim their property in the next couple weeks, they lose it. Boom, gone. So you lose all arguments at that point. However, if you want to challenge the confiscation, you've got two choices. One is to concede that the FBI has a right to take some of it and ask for some of it back. And that's the negotiation that they often do with you. So if you get caught traveling with $20,000 in cash and they take it from you and you say, I want my money back, they'll often say, well, I'll tell you what, we'll split it. You give us 10, we'll give you 10, and you sign a thing saying you can't come after the rest. They'll negotiate with you for your own money. So if you want to, you can negotiate with them. The second thing you can do is you can contest the forfeiture by June 24th, which would then require the government to show evidence in court linking the property to some sort of crime. But of course, there's the risk of high legal fees because this ain't cheap and it ain't free. Jeffrey B. Isaacs, an attorney for box holders, said prosecutors are trying to extort people into exposing their identities in order to investigate them. It's unprecedented, and I think it's very dangerous. In their lawsuits, box holders claim the FBI is forcing them to give up either their Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable searches and seizures, or their Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate themselves. So they're basically saying, look, you know, if you want to keep your money, explain to us where it came from. Explain yourself. And of course, that would be you testifying against yourself in a roundabout way. So the lawyers say that the government's intent all along was to search the boxes, which was in direct defiance of the magistrate's warrants, and they're looking for evidence against the customers. So from the start, the raid on U.S. private vaults posed challenges for the FBI legally. So the article in the Los Angeles Times is quite lengthy, and it's wonderful, and they're doing a great job of following this story. It happened in their backyard, of course, and they've got a wonderful staff over there, and Michael Finnegan has been writing about this. And so there's much, much more to the story. But at the heart of this, if we've been following this, as we have since the beginning, there's a private business, like mailboxes, etc. But instead of mailboxes, they've got safe deposit boxes. And they tell you that you can come in and get a safe deposit box anonymously. So some people go, interesting, because I got stuff that I might want to stash someplace. Don't want to leave it laying around my house. Can't put it in the bank, obviously. I could put it in a safe deposit box at the bank, but I can do it here. It's local. Suppose you live in Beverly Hills, you know. So you put a bunch of stuff, and so there's 300 or 400 people who are doing this. And so then the government decides that they think that the people who are running that business are committing crimes on the side. It's not crimes with the boxes. It's crimes they're doing on the side. So the government gets a search warrant to search and seize stuff on that property. And specifically, the warrant said they were allowed to grab the nest, the framework that the boxes were in. But they couldn't take that and just leave the boxes laying around. So they had to take custody of the boxes for safekeeping. And the magistrate said explicitly, your search warrant and your seizure warrant is not for the contents of those boxes, even though they'll be in your possession. Only thing you can do is inventory the stuff and give it back to its rightful owners. And that's what this whole story started with, was, well, the FBI's got your stuff. They're going to catalog it, make sure that nothing gets lost, and then they're going to give it back. Well, once they started cataloging it, assuming that they didn't lose a whole bunch of the stuff along the way, they decided that, oh, a lot of this is evidence of crime. And now, of course, the evidence of crime is simply somebody having cash. And the idea that they can look at an amount of cash and go, you know, $57,000 is too much for you to have. Why would you have $57,000? Why don't you explain that to us? No, why don't you explain why it's illegal for a U.S. citizen who works hard and saves their money to have accumulated $57,000? That's something we should applaud, not something we should prosecute. How do you look at something and say, oh, that must be related to a crime? Now, I understand there's a possibility. Let's suppose that something so unique that was discovered in one of these boxes was recognized as, hey, wait, that's stolen. Let's suppose, for instance, there's an antique watch, one of one, only one known to exist in the world. And let's make sure that this is a hypothetical you can't argue with. It's engraved. It's engraved. And it's got an engraving on it that's unique. They only made one watch. Some watch company 200 years ago made this one watch for the king. Okay? And it's engraved to the king from the watchmaker. And that watch was stolen from a museum decades ago. And it's been missing. It's the holy grail of watches. Let's assume those facts are true. If they find that watch in one of these safe deposit boxes, yes. You say, oh, this watch belongs to the museum. We can positively identify it. You give it back to the museum. And then you might ask the box owner, why are you in possession of stolen goods? But that's different than simply finding something and going, hey, that's valuable. That must be linked to a crime. No, that's not how you define crimes. And again, I'm a lawyer. I assure you that's true. You cannot say simply because you've got something of value, you're a criminal. And you can't say because you're a criminal, you can no longer have anything of value. That's not correct either. Okay, so the story is still unfolding. There are at least 11 pending lawsuits, and there's going to be probably more on this in the news. But as of right now, the FBI, who originally said, we're simply going to inventory this stuff and then give it back, they've now changed their position and said, oh, we're actually going to keep it. The federal government's going to keep this stuff. And we're going to give some of it back, but the $57,000 you've got that you can't explain in a way that we like, that's evidence of a crime. That's evidence of a crime. That mindset has got to change, and that's a problem. So Michael Finnegan of the Los Angeles Times, great article. FBI wants to keep fortune, cash, gold, jewels from Beverly Hills Raid. Is that an abuse of power? And that's a hypothetical question. That's so obviously answerable in that, yes, it's an abuse of power. Sent to me by Roger, Ken, David, Nathan, Trocon, Dave, Philip, Sue, Joe, Celeste, David, Ron, Bartley, John, Stephen with a PH, Jack, and Badley. Not Bradley, but Badley. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. There's a talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Can you remember who you were before the world told you who you should be?